want to open the Bible to begin with this morning. We'll turn over into the action of the reaction of the apostles to the actions of God, the book of Acts. The book of Acts. In the 11th chapter, if I'm able to this morning, if I'm blessed of the Lord, do so, and able to bring the thoughts and the subject matters to your attention that's upon our heart and mind this morning, I try to speak to you upon the subject matter of being an encourager. Being an encourager. Being one who waters others. Now, I know that's a little strange expression, but it's biblical. We'll get into it, the Lord willing. And one who refreshes others.
Yeah.
There's a man in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, said that he oft refreshed him. This man did. He oft refreshed the Apostle Paul, and that's in the sense of the watering. But as we look here in Acts chapter 11, starting there in verse 22, now this is after the persecution came in Jerusalem, and many were scattered abroad, the Bible tells us in verse 19. And they went different places. And then in verse 22 says, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Who, meaning Barnabas, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he, speaking of Barnabas, was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. The very name Barnabas means son of encouragement. Bar meaning son. As the Lord said to Peter, I say to thee that thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. He had said unto him, son of Jonas, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee. Simon, son of Bar-Jonah. In other words, Simon was the son of Jonah, or the son of Jonas. Flesh and blood, or your natural father, has not revealed this unto thee. Now, I never thought about that along that line until I was thinking and meditating upon that. I believe that's one of the reasons as the Lord expresses it that way in Matthew chapter 16, when he said, thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he said to him that, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Blessed art thou, son of encouragement. assurance unto them that yes, they were in the grace of God, who when he came and had seen the grace of God. Now, can you see the grace of God? The Bible says that Barnabas saw the grace of God. Now, it's in the same sense that you cannot actually see the wind, but you can see the evidence and the effect of the wind. That's the same way. That's how Barnabas saw the grace of God in them and with them. He saw the effect. He saw the evidences of grace with these people.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, the grace of God that bringeth salvation, that appears, that comes in regeneration, it has an effect upon individuals. And there is evidences of God's grace. There's evidences of God's working when God enacts and when God works upon his people. When he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad. He was glad. Oh, he was thrilled that the report was true. He was very much glad and joyful that what the church in Jerusalem had heard and had sent him to go as far as unto Antioch and to come among them, these people, and to search this out and to see if these reports were true. He was overjoyed that they were. So when he had seen the grace of God, he was glad, he was joyful, he was enthused about that. And so what did he do there with the disciples? This once again is a message of discipleship, to be an encourager. This is along the lines of discipleship, that we encourage, that we water, that we refresh our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we be a blessing unto the household of faith. We certainly never want to be a hindrance. We certainly never want to be one that downcast, one that brings envy or strife or division among the Lord's people, but to be encouragers, to give encouragement unto the Lord's people. This is what he did when he exhorted them. He was encouraging them through exhortation on that with purpose of heart, that they would cleave unto the Lord, that they would continue with the Lord, that they would continue in the grace of God, that they would continue manifesting and bearing the fruit of the Spirit, all that was identifying them as disciples of Jesus Christ. I tell you, our fruit, and always remember, the fruit does not bear the tree bears the fruit. And the tree has got to be there in order for there to be fruit born. But this is the way in cultivating and in watering and so forth of the plant, of the vine, of the tree, that bearing of fruit, that flourishing springs forth. So we certainly want the disciples, we certainly want the members of the church and of the congregation to flourish and to bear fruit and to shine forth in the kingdom and in the service of the Lord. Well, we certainly want to take hold of. We certainly want to be engaged and with fervency to be engaged in the very service of the Lord. As I said, we're speaking of, in a gospel sense, we're speaking of in a way of discipleship. The Bible says that he was a good man. You say, wait a minute, preacher. There's not one good. No, not one. Know how true that is. That's the way man is in a natural state. Oh, but I want to tell you that the scripture is speaking of Barnabas here in this sense, is speaking of him in the spiritual sense, that he was a good man. Does that mean he was perfect, that he never sinned? No. But his overall state, his overall status, his overall goal in life, and it was said of him They didn't call themselves Christians, but they were called Christians by others. And because others called them that, because they saw the grace of God, they saw the manifestation of the effect of God upon them, and therefore identified them with Christ.
Amen.
Identified them with the Christ. We turn over just a page or two there in the 13th chapter, and we're going to find where the Apostle Paul has preached the discourse. And in Acts chapter 13 and in verse 43, it says, "Now when the congregation was broken up, these religious proselytes, they are Gentile proselytes to the Jewish religion." And the Bible says that these Jews and these religious proselytes, that they followed Paul and Barnabas, who, meaning Paul and Barnabas, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. This is what they were persuading, exhorting, and admonishing, and encouraging them to continue in the grace of God. Oh, this is what we do, brothers and sisters, when we speak to ourselves in psalms, and to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The soul service is to be in a way of encouragement. These words that we sing and the singing together, how it joys and thrills and encourages our soul. The gospel message, amen, of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, it encourages us, strengthens us. And then, as we go from day to day in word and in deed, when the brotherhood that in word and in deed, that we speak those things and we do those things, that would be an encouragement to each other. Well, we know that we're living in troubled times. It's always been troubled times in this old ground of sin and sorrow and suffering. And I want to tell you, Cain has always been killing Abel from the beginning of time, even till now. He Cain, and I speak metaphorically, symbolically, but you understand what I'm saying. A man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. There's trouble here. There's much problems here in this life. There's disappointments here. There's much chaos. There's much confusion. And we need the encouragement. We need the uplifting in the Lord. We need the strengthening of the feeble ones, the weak ones. I've often said that a church is no stronger than its weakest member. Now, I want you to think about that. A church is no stronger than its weakest member. If a chain, you take whatever the vehicle, but let's just say you're going to take a tractor and you hook a chain to it, you're going to pull another tractor or a vehicle out of a ditch, and you've got a chain hooked up to it and you're pulling it out. If that chain breaks, where is it going to break? It's going to break in that weakest link. It's going to break in that weak point. It's not going to break where it's strong. It's going to break where it's weak. And when pressure is applied, a lot of times the weak break. Oh, brothers and sisters, there's plenty of pressure in this world that we live in. This world system, this antichrist world system. No, it seems like so many times when thing after thing, problem after problem, and difficulty after difficulty, and circumstance after circumstance that's unfavorable, and seem to surmount and surpass, and you seem to be overflowed and overwhelmed by these things. And sometimes we feel to get to a breaking point. But dear brothers and sisters, this is why the scriptures admonish us to continue to encourage, amen, one another, and that we be an encourager in word and in deed, and be a supporter of one another, and pray for one another, and to help bear one another's burdens. all rejoice. When one mourns, we all mourn. When one sorrows, we all sorrow. Oh, we be in much fervent prayer. Amen. For that one that's in, that is weak, and that one that is vulnerable. Oh, don't you know that Satan will attack when you're at your weakest point? Oh, that he will take the advantage. Satan, he is so full of cunning devices. He is so full of trickery. He is so corrupt and evil. I don't have to tell you that. And then what I'm saying is, he does not certainly play fair. He takes every advantage. He takes your disadvantage to come at you. And when you're most vulnerable, when you're most discouraged already, to tell you things of discouragement. Oh, we have to face these things. But all that we encourage and persuade one another to continue in the grace of God. Now the eternal grace of God that appeareth unto all men, all kinds of men, and that brings salvation. The grace of God that saves you from an everlasting punishment unto an endless home in heaven, immortal glory. Amen. That grace will always continue. For God continues that. God keeps that. But here they persuaded them to continue. Amen. This is with us. Amen. To persevere, not in order to have a home in heaven. Amen. But to be acceptable and pleasing unto the Lord while we live right here in this life, that we would have the smile and favor of God. No, that we'd have the sweet communion and fellowship of His blessed Spirit. I want to turn over to 2 Timothy there in chapter 1 and read this, that the Apostle Paul, according to Acts chapter 28, we have that information there in the last chapter of Acts. There in Acts 28 in verse 16, that last expression says, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Now this is at Rome. And of course, the Bible also says that he was in his own hired house for 2 years. But there was a soldier that kept him. And it says in the last expression in verse 20, when he said, I am bound with this chain. The Apostle Paul was bound with a chain. That's the state that he was in there at Rome. But while he's in this condition, he's speaking to Timothy. And starting in this second epistle, he says this in verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord granted to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Here is a faithful brother that Paul mentions in Scripture. When Paul is writing by inspiration of God, and he's writing to Timothy here, the very last letter that the Apostle Paul writes, he names his brother by name, and he says, for he oft refreshed me. There was the time in Ephesus. He mentions this there in the latter part of verse 18 when the apostle says to Timothy that Timothy knows how that this brother ministered to the Apostle Paul at Ephesus. He said, thou knowest very well how he ministered unto me. And after, when he came to Rome, he looked me up. He sought me out diligently to find. He wasn't ashamed of my chain. Oh, even though I was bound to a soldier and bound with a chain, but Paul was able and blessed to receive folks and preach the gospel there for those 2 years there at Rome. And then, of course, was that the Apostle Paul mentions this dear brother and says that he oft refreshed me.
Yeah.
Oh, what a blessing.
Yes, indeed.
What beautiful words the Apostle Paul would say of someone. And then he spoke of the times, particularly at Ephesus. You know, the Apostle Paul mentions that he fought with beasts at Ephesus. He fought with beasts. I don't believe that it's talking about bears and lions. I don't believe that was natural, a beast, but it's symbolic language, speaking of either individuals that he contended with, that was so under the influence of Satan and the Antichrist spirit that gave the apostle such trouble and the hardships that he had, or either he's speaking of demonic spirits and calling them beasts that warred against him so. But nevertheless, the apostle, the scripture records, he says, I fought with beasts at Ephesus. He had a hard time there. There was many difficulties, but here's a brother that refreshed him all.
Yeah.
That refreshed him. Amen. He refreshed him. How did he refresh him? No doubt. Amen. With encouragement in word and deed.
Yeah.
Not just with word, but with deed. No doubt. He with the natural supply to the Apostle Paul. With food, shelter, clothing, whatever the case was, this man helped meet the Apostle Paul's needs. He was an avenue that the grace of God ministered through.
Yeah.
Oh, that we would be an avenue that the grace of God would minister through to others. Amen. To the poor and needy in the way, to our brothers and sisters that are in that state, in that condition, especially in the gospel kingdom. But the scripture also tells us to do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. And that we ever are reminded, amen, to care for and to take care of our own. Amen. And to branch out into combat in the household of faith and others as we see and have opportunity to do good unto. The scripture tells us there in 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Shutteth up his bowels of compassion. What are the bowels of compassion? That is the language that has reference and infers of our innermost being, of our innermost parts. I believe issuing out from that new creation in Christ Jesus, bowels of compassion, bowels of mercy, issues that issue forth, that stream forth, the secretion by the Spirit of God, that affects our good conscience, which is the avenue that communicates to our mind. You know, that's what that water baptism is, the answer of a good conscience.
Yeah.
You know, when you are born of the Spirit of God, you have a good conscience. Amen. That good conscience is that which conveys to the mind, that which influences from the new creation through that good conscience. Now you can suppress it. You can push it down and go on and on, and even to the point of searing it. I tell you, one not born in the Spirit of God does not have a good conscience. No, only one born in the Spirit of God has a good conscience.
Yeah.
So it's the scriptures, and the scripture teaches us of the good conscience in other places. But I don't have time to go there this morning. That's not the subject matter. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion, or to harden, to close them up, or not to let it flow forth freely to where you do something, where it moves you to action. in word and in deed. He says, how dwelleth the love of God in you? I believe that that is a rhetorical question. I believe it's a statement of question. To emphasize something that you're speaking along the lines of, if someone asked you concerning something that was obvious, and you might say, does a dog bark? Does a bird fly? Does a fish swim? You know, I'm going to ask, you know, that's a statement question. It's a question, but it's a statement, but it's a rhetorical. I'm not asking you for an answer, because the answer is obvious. And the answer is obvious here. What he's saying is, for whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and sheddeth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? In other words, one that has the love of God in him, it is expected, and it is taught, and among the disciples of Christ, it is expected that the issue will flow forth from the vial of compassion and mercy that it would issue forth to be moved to do something, because the love of God is in you.
Yeah.
The love of God is in you, because the scripture teaches us that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The love of God is in you particularly, given in regeneration, and then we cultivate and use that and work out. Amen. That love and faith, that which God has worked in us. You remember the words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi, as ye have obeyed in my presence, even so much more in my absence, that you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. We know and understand, if God hadn't worked it in you, you can't work it out. But God's worked the to will. Amen. That means the desire.
Yeah.
He's worked the to do. That means the ability. There is that. And if you don't suppress that desire and that ability, and then you can act it out, you can manifest it, amen, by faith. And to do those good works of faith that the Bible instructs us to do. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Old Baptists have been accused through history of many false things. Yes, they have. Many false things they've been accused of. And one of those is that we don't believe in good works. We do believe in good works. I believe in good works. I know you believe in good works that the Bible teaches. Good works of faith. It's just that those good works come after. Amen. They're not in order to. They're because of. Amen. We do them because of what God has done. You're able to work out that which God has worked in, because God's worked something in. Amen. God is first the originator, the beginner. He is, amen, the author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
As the scripture teaches us.
Amen.
So we plead unto that. He said, my little children, in verse 18, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Amen. We're not manifesting God's love when it's just in word, when it's just by the tongue. Amen. But when it's in deed. Well, what is charity? Charity is love. God's love in you, manifested out. That's what charity is. Amen. It's when God's love that is in you is worked out, is manifested out, oh, the scriptures are so plain concerning that. I want to pick up at this time, I want to pick up an expression that's back over in Psalm. There in Psalm, the 40th division, that last verse, he said, but I am poor and needy. And you know, I've mentioned to you several times how poor and needy we are, and we're a needy people. So here's you a text for it. Amen, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Huh. Aren't we thankful this morning that the Lord thinks upon us?
Yeah.
The Lord thinks. Now, stay with me right here. I'm going to make a connection. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. The Lord thinks upon the poor and needy. That's the mindset of the Lord, thinking upon his poor and his needy. That's his children. And let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Let this mindset be in you. So we are to think upon, amen, the Lord's poor and needy. Those that are distraught. Those that seem to be cast by the way. Those that feel to be downtrodden. Those that they're poor, amen, in spirit and poor in some kind of need in this life. Even physical need. Financial need. Whatever it is. The scripture teaches us if we see one naked, we're not to just say, be thou clothed and go our way. We're to give them some clothes. If we see someone hungry, we're not just to say, be thy filled, but we're to help supply to that hungry. We know that there is that where we try to divide the word of truth and where do we strike in accordance with the will of God. I can't feed the world. You can't feed the world. But the little opportunities, the things that come our way, the doors of opportunity that the Lord makes available unto us where we can do good works of faith, we ought to step through the open door.
Yeah.
Problem is, so many folks go around, amen, trying to beat down a door. Amen. I'm talking about the Lord opening a door of opportunity. The Lord making visible. The Lord making known unto us in a way where there is an opportunity to do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. But aren't you so thankful this morning? You know, all of God's teaching and dealing with the children of Israel, He taught them that they were poor and that they were once strangers in a strange land, and therefore He taught them to have compassion upon the poor and to have compassion upon the stranger that came into their quarters and to leave handfuls of purpose, to leave gleanings in the corners of the fields and the sides of the fields whereby they could glean. It wasn't that they were to sit and do nothing and bring it to them. You left it there and they were to come and to glean it.
Yeah.
Amen. So we want to take all of the word of God. We want all the lesson that it has there along these lines. Now in that 41st division, He says, blessed is he that considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble.
Yeah.
Here's a blessing that is spoken, amen, upon the Lord's disciples, those that are following after the way and the teachings of God and following after the issues of compassion and mercy. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. That word considereth. That considereth them, takes notice of them. Not just to see, but to do something about it. Blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Well, let me tell you, there were a lot of judgments brought upon the natural nation of Israel because that they did violence and did wrong to the widows and orphans among them and did not do according to what God's law said to do. You can read it over and over and over in their case throughout the Old Testament. The Lord will, in verse 2, the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. What a great blessing that is promised in a way of obedience. In a way of obedience, what a great blessing that is promised unto us there. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. And I'll tell you what, the Lord Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, also I can see an application here. He was the poor and needy of God as the man Christ Jesus, and God the Father preserved him and took care of him. And though he laid his life down, he gave himself a ransom, but God raised him up, and the will of his enemies was not done. Well, I want to tell you, say in whom he may divide. Remember, even the Lord said, you know, of Peter, speaking, that Satan desires to sift thee as wheat, but nevertheless I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. That thy faith fail not. Now, we mentioned about watering.
Yeah.
Being an encourager.
Yeah.
To water. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25, I want you to notice this. Notice this language. Proverbs 11 and 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Now, in what sense is this? The giving soul. The giving being. The giving individual. Not talking about liberal in the sense of loose morality. Not talking about liberal in the sense that you think of far as in politics. That's not the usage of this word. The liberal soul, the giving soul, one being liberal in giving of himself, in word and in deed, in doing good works of faith. What does the Bible say of that individual? The liberal soul shall be made fat. That's symbolic language. But what's it speaking of? What is the sense of it? That soul, that being, that individual will be made fat. That individual will be blessed of the Lord. That individual will be made to prosper. That individual will be rewarded, will be blessed for his works. Now, we got a lot of Bible language, amen, about the blessings and the doing. Amen, and doing in the works and being rewarded for the works. Lord willing, we'll come across that. We don't have to shy away from that. We know as far as heaven and mortal glory that heaven for God's people is an inheritance.
Yeah.
It is not a reward. It's yeah. not in that sense.
That's right.
No, a thousand times no. Thousand times no. But the Lord is faithful and just to remember our works of righteousness. Amen. As the scripture teaches us. And so the Lord will reward, the Lord will make fat, the Lord will bless, the Lord will increase. You know, if you say that, speaking of your natural body, you put on some weight, you say you've gotten fat. What are you saying? You're saying that your natural body has increased, it's got larger, right? It's got larger, it's increased. Well, that's what this is saying when it's talking about shall be made fat. You'll be increased. You'll be blessed in the doing. Thank God we still believe that there's blessings in doing. There's blessings in being an encouragement. Not only the blessing to the one that you're encouraging, the blessing to you as an encourager.
Amen.
Oh, that we keep that in mind. But then listen to this next expression of this text. And he that watereth shall be watered. Also himself. What does water do? Water refreshes. Water revives. Water rejuvenates. Water quenches thirst. Water causes to grow. So, he that watereth shall be watered himself. If you refresh others, you'll be refreshed. Well, I tell you, this dear brother that the Apostle Paul speaks of, that refreshed him often, that came to his aid, that came to his help. Well, I tell you, that brother indeed himself was refreshed often by the Lord. Amen. By the blessings of the Lord, he was made fat. He was increased, no doubt, because this is the clear teaching of the Scripture. We don't do these things for the increase. We do them because we are admonished and taught in God's Word, and because the love of God is in us, and we love the Lord, and we praise Him, and give honor and glory to His name in action, in charity, in manifestation. Oh, but God is faithful. Amen to His promises. His promises are yea and amen. So therefore, this is as God sets forth unto us. So the liberal soul shall be made fat. and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Isn't that good news? Amen. That's good to think about.
Amen.
That this refreshing to be refreshed. If that's what we engage in, that we will have it back unto us.
Yeah.
Amen. By the Lord. The Lord that keeps a record. The Lord that keeps the account here in this life. It's not for heaven anymore, but glory. But it's as the disciples of Jesus Christ as we live right here in this life. Now, Proverbs 14:31 is a companion text to that. Proverbs 14:31, it says, "He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker." He that oppresseth the poor. He that makes the poor's life harder. That takes advantage of the downcast. That takes advantage of the poor. That's a reproach to his maker. Who is our maker? God is our maker. So that's what he's saying. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, reproacheth God. But he that honoreth him, talking about honoring his maker, honoring God, hath mercy on the poor. And that's the lesson that God taught the children of Israel through the times. I want to tell you, those that came to a widow woman when her husband had died, that was one of the sons of the prophets, and was going to take her two sons as bond servants. They were oppressing the poor. They were taking advantage of the poor because of the death of her husband and the debt that was owed. They were going to take the sons and make not hired servants, not to work off the dead as God had instructed. We tried to preach on that. But to make slaves of them. That was oppressing the poor.
Yeah.
That was taking advantage of the poor.
Yeah.
And God says, I'm going to tell you, that's not satisfactory with God.
No.
No, that's not satisfactory with God to take advantage of someone in a poor situation. In a bad circumstance to try to take advantage of them. It's a reproach unto God. But he that honoreth him, that honors God, that honors his maker, he does so when he hath mercy on the poor.
Amen.
Oh, if that creditor had wanted to honor God, if that creditor had wanted to give homage and praise unto God, and to do what was right, he would not have been coming after her two sons to make slaves out of them, but rather to use them as a hired servant to work off the debt and then let them go free.
Yeah.
And of course, if the year of Jubilee came, whenever that came, then they went out free, them and their children, because of the year of Jubilee. Thank God for liberty. Thank God for Jubilee. You know the scripture, Jesus himself, when he was giving the Beatitudes there upon the mount in Matthew 5:7, when he says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Blessed are the merciful. That goes right along with it, dear brothers and sisters. Oh, blessed are they. They're in a blessed state. And you're in a blessed state when you show forth that mercy, when you show forth that compassion, when you show forth the love of God that is within us, when we work out that God himself has indeed worked in us. This is so laid out to us and so reiterated in God's word that even in the finality of the end, we have these words in Matthew chapter 25 that when the Lord returns in the end, when it's the consummation, the finality of all things in the day of the general judgment and the resurrection, when there's the resurrection of the just and the unjust, when there is the gathering together, and the Bible teaches us in verse 33, "And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the loud.
Yeah.
The Bible says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Yeah. From the foundation of the world. This is that everlasting kingdom that was prepared. This is heaven and immortal glory.
Right.
Oh, far as the building of it, God is the maker and builder. It was brought forth and established his throne in it in the third heaven in the morning of creation. Thank God forevermore. And Jesus came and went to the cross to legally prepare it for his people. He wasn't going to prepare a place in the sense that it wasn't already there. Oh, he did it from the foundation of the world. But he went to the cross to legally prepare it. Amen. For his people. Made it legal for them to inherit it in heaven and immortal glory. Amen. That which he had prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That city that it talks about there in Hebrews that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob looked for. That continuing city. Yeah. That city that had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Builder and maker is God. Builder and maker.
Right.
Prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Mm. Now, for I was hungry.
Yeah.
This is characteristic of God's people. Not all God's people do it as much as they ought to. But this is characteristic. Just like it's characteristic of that they that have done good shall come forth unto the resurrection of life. None of us do as good as we ought to do. None of us ever obtain unto that. But it is characteristic for God's people to do good.
Yeah.
That's what I've been teaching this morning. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what we're speaking of. And encouraging God's people to be an encourager, to be a refresher, to be a waterer.
Right.
This is what Jesus is saying. This is what he's saying. Then shall the king say unto them on his right, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done, ye have done.
Yeah.
They that have done good, the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good,
right,
unto the resurrection of life. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
Right.
So it is characteristic for God's people to do good. As ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done. Done. That word keeps coming up. That means action. Not thinking about it. Not just thinking about it. When it said the Lord thinketh upon us, it's not just in the sense that we came through his mind, but he considered us. He meditated upon us. I tell you, when the Lord Jesus was suspended between heaven and earth, his elect people were on his mind.
Amen.
Amen. They were on his mind.
Praise God.
Oh, therefore, that's why he endured the cross, despising the shame, and for the joy that was set before him, he endured it. That's why, as the old prophet said, he shall see all the travail of his soul and be satisfied.
Yeah.
Amen. Why could he endure? Why was it joy set before him? Them sufferings weren't joyful. But he knew who he's dying for. He knew what he was completing. He knew what he was accomplishing. He knew what his death was accomplishing there on the tree of the cross. That it was indeed legally and positionally saving his people from their sin, from the sin debt, from to deliver them out from under the law of sin and death, where they would not be charged. all. Thank God forevermore.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's action. That's what counts. That's what the Word of God is teaching, is action. Doing. We're blessed in the doing. Oh, let's think upon that and consider that as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. You have done it unto me. I want to turn over to 1 Corinthians. There in that third chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is where there's some contention at the church of Corinth, because some have been baptized in water by this one and that one, and they were boasting and bragging about it.
Yeah.
And you know, that's why, you know, Jesus didn't baptize his disciples baptized his, and they made more disciples than John, the Bible says. Well, you know, how would it be? How do you see somebody? The Lord Jesus Christ baptized me.
Yeah.
No. The Lord took care of that. The Lord took care of that. And this is where they were at right here. And the Apostle Paul is in a way of rebuking them in this sense. And he asked them the question, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? Now listen to this. I have planted.
Yeah.
Apollos watered.
Right.
Now, in this context, this is gospel labor as far as ministry.
Right.
But here, the minister in gospel labors, encouragement. Barnabas was an encouragement from the standpoint of gospel labors. We all can be encouragers as we try to preach and to speak upon this morning. And here, it's in the sense, we come back across this, Apollos watered.
Right.
Apollos refreshed.
Right.
Amen. Apollos encouraged. But God gave the increase.
Yeah.
It's God that worketh in you.
That is right.
Goes right back to that.
That is it.
It's God is the fountainhead. God is the source. God is the power supply. We have no power of our own in that spiritual context. We are without strength. It's only His strength whereby we are made able. We're made able ministers of the gospel. We're made able to minister to one another. We're able to minister by faith and through unfringed love of the brethren, to faithful love of the brotherhood, to look upon the needs of others, and to be moved with love and compassion that move us to be congenial and kind and put that God-given love in us in action, which is that charity. And that charity suffereth long. Mm. Why? Because God is long-suffering. God is. So I planted the pond's water, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that waters, but God that giveth the increase. We're just vessels. Talk about the gospel and the ministers and delivering the ordinance of water baptism, carrying it out, enacting that ordinance of water baptism. We're just the minister of the Lord. We're just the minister of the church.
Yeah.
That's why I always try in making the statement when I'm about to put a subject that the church has approved.
Yeah.
For water baptism underneath the water.
Yeah.
That I say something along this line, upon the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and by the authority of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, I baptize this my brother or sister in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Amen. It's not a solo act.
No.
A minister is not a solo act. It's for the church. Water baptism is a church ordinance.
Right.
The Lord's Supper is a church ordinance. It's churchy, brothers and sisters. It's churchy. I'm just as churchy as Noah was Arky. Amen. I believe in the local church. I believe in the gospel church.
Yeah.
Amen. And I'm just a minister. I'm just baptizing for the church by the authority of Christ, by the command of Christ, and by the authority of the church. If the church didn't give me the authority to baptize that fit subject, I wouldn't be authorized to do it.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying here. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. We're all workers together. We're all laborers together. We're all filling our function together. We're working as a unit. We're working together as a hand in glove and serving the service of the Lord for the outcome of the good of all. Now, every man shall... Now, notice this. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor.
Yes.
Now that's what I told you before. Right there it is. The Bible plainly teaches this and tells us this, that there is reward in the labor.
Yeah.
There's reward in the doing. It's the Lord that rewards.
Right.
It's the Lord that blesses. Now we're not to do our alms before men. We're not to do it for the praise of men. We're not to be as the Pharisees. We're not to stand and cry aloud to be heard and seen as they would stand and cry aloud to be heard and seen. That was their reward for standing and getting the gaze of men. We don't want the gaze of men in that respect. It's not a prideful, not to be a prideful thing and a proud thing and to get the praise of men or to lord it over anybody.
No.
That's in the sense, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. You go into your secret closet and you pray. And your Father that seeth in secret will reward you openly.
Yeah.
This is what Jesus taught. Jesus taught that we do these things, we do these good works of faith. And when we don't boast and we don't brag about them and we don't do them in a way of flashing and lie and glory and praise, and we take the back seat rather than the front seat, I'm symbolically speaking. And of course Jesus taught that lesson about even when you go into a feast, you don't go down and get the front seat, you sit backwards. And if you're supposed to be down front, they'll come get you.
Yeah.
And if you wasn't, then you're back there where you ought to be, and you're not going to be shamed. Oh, what's this old human nature? This old Adamic nature. What does it want? Oh, we can't yield to that because it'll be wanting praise. It'll be wanting honor for what it's done.
Yeah.
No. We should go about our doing humbly, meekly, quietly, and as secretively as we can. Now it will manifest. Sometimes our works manifest and show forth, but your gift will make room for itself. It will make the room for itself. You don't have to make room for it. All right. Now, when he says here, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, then what does he say? For we are laborers together with God. Now, there are folks that take this right out of context and say, well, you see right there, we're to go about and we're preaching the gospel and we're working with God to get folks to heaven. No!
No,
that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about right back up here in the context. Paul's planting, Paul's water, but it's God who giveth the increase. Paul's nothing, Paul's is nothing, but ministers by whom you believe. God's the power source. And then God's doing it. We're just laborers. And this is why he's saying that we are laborers together with God. In this context, we are laborers with God.
Amen.
Now, you can't dispute the very words of the Bible.
No.
You know, I don't want to try to get around this. I want to try to take it in the sense that it is teaching and telling us we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry.
Yeah.
You are an avenue. You are a vehicle. You are a means.
Yeah.
Now we're speaking temporal, we're speaking timely.
That's right.
Trying to rightly divide this, we know for there is one God and one mediator between God and men.
That's right.
The man Christ Jesus.
Praise God.
He is the only means. His sacrificial death that is finished, whereby to populate heaven and mortal glory. This Bible doesn't call upon anyone to help God to labor to populate heaven or to keep hell from being populated. Oh, that's all in God's hand. That's all God's business. But we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. I did want to turn back and came back to my mind Psalm 62, there in the 62nd Psalm. Psalm 62 and 12. Psalm 62 and 12, that will go along with that right there. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou renderest to every man according to his work. That's right here in time. Right here in this life. Now the wicked, they're going to suffer an everlasting punishment for their work. Because their sin, their works are sinful. They're not anything but sinful in the sight of God.
Yeah.
All right, we understand that.
Sure.
That their sins weren't paid for. The only reason the elect of God, far as our the things that we do or do not do, the sins of omission or commission, the reason that we're not going to suffer an everlasting punishment for those is because Jesus paid for them.
That's right.
Jesus paid for it. Jesus took care of that for his people. He has saved his people from their sins. Don't mean they don't ever sin, but from their sin. From their sin what? From their sin. From the penalty.
Yeah.
The penalty of their sin. What is the penalty of sin? Death. And it's an everlasting death.
Right.
Of an everlasting punishment. Blessed is and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection upon whom the... Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection upon whom the second death hath not power. I don't know that I got that just right, but you Bible readers know right where I was at. Amen. Thank God that there's a resurrection. New birth is spoken of in a resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. The first resurrection that God's people ever have part in is the resurrection to life out all dead and trespassing sin that he has resurrected. So we are God's husbandry, we are God's building. I'm going to bring this to a close, but I do want to turn over to the end of the Revelation letter. And in verse 7, there in chapter 22, he said, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Here is a blessing that is pronounced upon keeping the prophecy of this book.
Yeah.
Then verse 12 says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Like I said, you can't work your way to heaven in mortal glory. That's not a reward. That's an inheritance taken care of in the everlasting covenant of grace. But I've read to you several expressions, and there's a whole lot more in this Bible. We could turn to Hebrews 11 and 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.